Good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always give us a call, send us a text at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Going to be a very busy hour. Greg Bach is very excited about our next guest. I'm very excited about our next guest. He has joined us many times in the past. He runs the planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Bob Bonadour was just here on the line, or is he on the phone?
I think his camera was frozen that whole time.
I think he froze just a little bit.
Yep.
And I think he is called. There he is. He's on the phone.
He's on the phone now.
He's on the phone. Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Hey, Jane, I'm doing well. How about you?
We are great. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy National Space Day.
Yeah, head is in the stars once again.
Don't you get today off? I mean, I would think that this would, you know, be a special holiday for you.
Well, I am working at home. So we got the spring list from my dear wife and working on that, but glad to take a break and talk space with you two.
Well, Greg was when Greg found out it was National Space Day, he's like, we have to talk to Bob Bonadour. And so, Greg, where do you want to start? Space, the final frontier.
Well, first of all, Bob, welcome back to the show. We are very excited to have you. I wanted to start off with, you know, what's going on with the museum? And is there any special celebrations at the museum today or this weekend? And if not, what are you up to at the museum right now doing? Like, what kind of projects are you working on?
Well, we just opened a brand new show called Cosmic Questions. So, like any question you might be asking, we put in a show. And it's just a fun show. Like, why can you see the moon during the daytime? Do stars really die? All kinds of things. And then, yeah, we're planning for the new museum and planetarium. And we have groundbreaking coming up on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And when is that? When is when is that all opening up?
Well, so we groundbreak on Tuesday, but we don't open up till March 2027. That'll be almost 3 years, and we'll have a brand new, beautiful, engaging, inspiring museum for everyone in Wisconsin.
I can't imagine how excited you must be for the new planetarium. Is it going to be significantly different than the one we have now?
Yeah, it's going to be a bit different. We'll have a flat arena planetarium with removable chairs. And moon chairs, which are like bean bags, the old bean bags, if you remember that.
Yep.
But you can just do so many different events. We can do special events, we can do sleepovers, and we are, we're excited. I can't wait. So a lot to do between now and then, but we're excited.
What a great way to get kids interested in science.
Or adults.
Yeah, that too.
I'll sleep over at the museum.
Do you do adult sleepovers there?
Oh, yeah, we do adult sleepovers, and we need planetariums, right, because we've kind of lost the sky a bit with all the light pollution, so planetariums remind us just about the beauty and mystery of it all, and showing the stars, and just stargazing, sitting back, and taking it all in.
So I listened to a podcast called The Infinite Monkey Cage. It's got a scientist and an actor as their host, but they have on scientists. And one of the things they were talking about with astronomer was the fact that, and this is a question about eyes perception and the moon. When we look at, so last week we had a big orange blood red moon happening on the horizon as I was driving home, two nights in a row. And then one night, by the time I got home to tell my wife, it had risen higher. It was further away and it was no longer the color of orange. It would just look like the moon. But also, they were talking about the fact that when you take a picture of the moon when it's really close, when you look at the picture itself, it looks still far away because of the horizon. I mean, can you speak to that at all? Why that happens?
Sure. The first part, why the moon looks bigger when it rises or sets, is simply an eye-brain illusion.
Yeah.
It's your eye-brain seeing it that way. I mean, you've seen things like, you know, the two dots on a railroad track, so one looks bigger than the other, but they're the same size.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing going on. The color, though, is real. That comes from our atmosphere, you know, sunsets, sunrises, orange, same with the moon. And that is just, you're looking through more air when you look at the moon or sun on the horizon. You're looking up to 40 times more air. That's why you can look at the sun during a sunset, right? And you can't look at it high in the sky. It's going through so much more air. The blue light gets scattered out and leaving only the red, orange, and pale yellow sometimes. But that's why you have color on the horizon.
That's so cool.
Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium is here. It is National Space Day. Bob, where were you for the eclipse that we just had? Did you travel to an area of totality?
Yes, we took 65 people to Texas, the San Antonio area, and then we did some tourism there, had some fun with our group, and then on Monday, April 8th, we headed northwest to a little town called Junction, Texas, and we saw the eclipse there, and it was, once again, just spectacular.
And was Junction, Texas just jumping? I mean...
Yeah, they had a nice thing around their courthouse there, and you know, with different booths and food vendors and all of that. It was a great celebration, and oh yeah, it was every place along totality from Texas to Maine. I mean, so many people got to see this just wondrous event, and can't wait till the next one.
Well, and even because I sat in my backyard, Greg got us the viewing glasses, and that is the most impressive. Because what we were like 89%, I think, in Milwaukee. Yeah. But the drop in temperature was so marked, Bob, even though it's still bright and sunny. But you could absolutely feel the difference in the air. It was crazy.
Yeah. 90% or thereabout. Yeah, temperatures will go down. But if you two ever get a chance to see 100% totality, the difference is... just amazing. I mean, the experience is different, and so if you ever get a chance, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, I've heard of people bursting into tears, and you know, just it's supposed to be momentous.
How does one get considered for one of the 65 people who gets to travel with the planetarium? Because I'd love to be a part of that. I'll go to Texas.
They sign up first. We advertised it way back in 2022, and it sold out within, I don't know, a month and a half.
Wow.
So, I'll remember that.
But you know, you can do it on your own. It's just a fun event. I mean, it's hard to describe. You mentioned tears, and it affects people differently. It's kind of a very personal experience. Some people love to photograph it. Some people just love to sit back and watch it. Some people like to be part of a group and experience in a more, community based. And so it just really depends on who you are, but it's like the beauty of a starry night sky far from the city lights. It just take it all in and let it enrich your soul.
Well, and that's something I was thinking about too. You know, you run the planetarium. This is your life. Space is your life. And you talk about it, you think about it, you write about it. And what are the things in our sky, excuse me, in our galaxy, our universe, that still blow your mind? That still, when you think about it, you're like, oh my gosh, I still can't wrap my brain around this, even though that this is your life.
Well, a good question. I mean, besides the total solar eclipse, any lunar eclipse is nice. There's one coming up in September, a partial one, but still, it's just, you see the harmony of the heavens, right? Mm-hmm. And that we're able to predict this. And in terms of just viewing, I mean, the aurora borealis or the northern lights still just will, get me speechless, if you will. And to just sit back and, I know what's going on scientifically. It's just electricity in the sky. It's just heating of the nitrogen and oxygen atoms and ionizing them and all of that. But just to sit back and look at it pulse and the different colors, that just takes your breath away.
I love that, Bob. I love that with all of your knowledge and all of your background, it's still like, isn't that pretty? Like the rest of us do.
I think that's amazing. Right. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing that like your brain can explain it, but your heart can be like, this is beautiful. Oh my gosh. Like I think that's the thing I love about space so much is like, I could talk to somebody who could sit down and hopefully explain it to me.
Right.
I don't know if I can understand all of it, but at the end of the day, I'm looking up and I'm just seeing all this beauty above me that I can't even comprehend because I can't see most of it because it's happening so far away. And it's, I love space.
Bob Bonendure is here from the Milwaukee Public Museum. He runs the planetarium. It is National Space Day, so we're talking all things space. If you have a question, you can absolutely text it in if you'd like at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Is there anything coming up, Bob, that we should be looking upward for?
Well, you're going to have to stay up late to see the sky. As we all know, the daylight is increasing over 14 hours per day now as we head toward the summer solstice. So enjoy the our star during the daytime. But at night, there's two planets in the morning sky, Saturn and Mars. And we're actually planetless, which is strange, in the evening sky. Usually there's a planet or two, but there are no planets in the evening sky, and not until July.
Wow.
Do we have a planet in the evening sky? So, well, they're always going around the sun in different orbits, right? So they'll, you know, but by the end of the year, okay, have me back, Jane, Greg, all five planets will be visible in the December night sky, in the evening sky, you know, right at supper time, 6-7 o'clock, we can see all the planets in the sky. So right now there's none, but in December we'll have them all.
Oh, you're coming back, Bob. You are coming back. I'm going to ask, well, actually, I think it's a longer question. So I'll hold on to the question. Can you stick around, Bob, for one more segment?
Sure, you bet.
Excellent.
Problem.
All right, cool. Because that's a question I want to ask. It's so simple, but I feel like the answer is...
It's going to be very complicated.
Complicated, and also be like, Greg, why didn't you know that? Why didn't you know that?
There are no wrong questions. There are no wrong questions on this show.
Okay, all right.
There absolutely aren't. And I just want to remind folks, too, if you want to catch the Brewers-Cubs game, they're playing today at 12:45. You can catch the game on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, and WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. Brewers at the Cubs, the game today at 12:45. Stay with us. We're talking all things space on National Space Day. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah! To Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are joined on National Space Day. He is with the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium. Bob Bonendure is here. Greg, now you can ask your long, complicated question.
So you were saying earlier that we'll be able to see two planets in the early morning, correct?
Yes.
And then later on in the year, we'll be able to see five. And these planets are a long, 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 long ways away. Why can we see them?
Because relatively, they're actually pretty close.
In terms of space,
right? The moon, of course, is the closest. That's why it's so big and bright in the sky, and the planets are relatively close compared to the stars. I mean, planets don't make their own light; like they're like the moon, they're lit up by the sun. Mm-hmm. But they're just big enough and close enough relatively to see. I mean, Jupiter is 11 times bigger than planet Earth, so we can see it very easily in the evening sky. Venus is relatively close, even though it's, 30, 40 million miles away. That's relatively close space-wise.
It's right down the road.
Something like that big, you're going to see.
See, that's how simple I am when it comes to space. It's like, it's 30, 40 million miles away, but we can see. I'm like, that's amazing!
But I think you make a really good point, Bob, as far as we forget how large these objects are.
Yeah, yeah, they're very big. I mean, actually, you can see Venus during the daytime, even when the sun is up. You know, why? Because it's close enough and bright enough. I mean, it all depends how big they are and how close they are, and you can see Venus during the daytime. It's not easy, but if you know exactly where to look and are patient, you can see Venus during the daytime. It's a fun trick if anyone ever wants to try it.
Well, and I still think if you ever have an opportunity to get with someone who has, and it doesn't have to be the best telescope in the world, but a relatively decent telescope, looking through a telescope at Saturn is, at least for me, was mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. Saturn, to see Saturn's rings through a telescope, I mean, it's amazing how many times I can tell you, because people, kids and adults, are so sensitive to media and seeing pictures, they'll see it through a telescope and they'll go, is that real?
Seriously, it looks like a picture out of a book.
It looks like a face. That's the only way they've ever seen it, right? Yeah. It's a very logical question. I mean, it's easy to laugh, and I first probably laughed too, but it's like, no, that's a logical question. You know, without explaining how the light hits the mirror, hits the secondary mirror, comes out through the lens on the eyepiece, you know, so you have to kind of explain the telescope, how it works and how they can see it directly with their eyes. So, yeah. But it's awesome to teach kids and adults how that works.
Space
and telescopes,
awesome.
By the way, if you want a very simple thing, a telescope is just a big eye. That's all it is. It's just a big eye. I mean, think of your pupils, right? When you go into a dark room, they dilate so you don't stub your toe. So your eye gets bigger so you can see in the darkness. And that's all telescopes are, big eyes.
Well, and if someone is thinking, Bob, about, you know, maybe buying a telescope, again, you don't have to buy a $5,000 telescope. There are some reasonably priced ones, right?
Sure, but if people are really on the fence, they can feel free to call the planetarium because we can help you out. But yeah, we don't want people buying those ones that you'll see at a store for $40, $50. I mean, we encourage people not to do that because they end up in closets or in garage shelves. you can get a pretty good one for $300-$400, and that will work real nice. You know, with a little time. I mean, it takes a little time and effort and patience, but once you get a telescope going, they're your best friend.
My birthday's in December, Cal and Jane.
All right, we'll put that on the list. We'll put the telescope for Greg.
So I want to ask you now about something that if I'm saying it incorrectly or if it's just not a thing and you're like, Greg, that doesn't exist, please tell me. But I was reading about something called the cosmic microwave background radiation, which I was told was the light from the Big Bang that is still visible to this day that you can see, which can trace back to the origins of the universe. If I got any of that wrong, I apologize to you and everyone who works in your industry.
You got it right.
Yeah!
It's the leftover heat from the Big Bang, which of course is very, very hot, right? Yeah. But that was 13.8 billion years ago, so it's cooled down a bit to about 3 degrees above absolute zero, which is like 450 degrees below zero. So it's extremely cold now, but we can detect it with our telescopes in space. And a way to think of it, how we see, quote, you know, in parentheses, how do we see something like that? Well, with these different telescopes that look in that part of the spectrum, and think of a fire, like if you were in the woods and it's very dark and there was a fire, right, and it just went all the way out and there's no embers that are glowing or anything, you could still feel where that fire was by just putting your hand over the heat, the infrared energy. So you could tell where the fire was. And same thing. So when we look in the sky every direction, we see this leftover heat from the Big Bang, and it's uniform in all directions, meaning it came from one spot, and that's the Big Bang.
You've made him so happy, Bob. you've made him so happy.
So cool.
Do you have like a space cadet program or something?
Can I just be your intern?
We can get him a pin or something.
Yeah.
We do an adult class. I don't know if we're going to do one in the fall, but it's a 5-week course we do at the planetarium. So look for it on our website.
A telescope and a space cadet pin, and we'll sign you up for the class. And Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, all wrapped into one. Bob Bonadour runs the planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And as you said too, Bob, if you have questions about space, if you have questions about telescopes, if you have questions, people can call you, right?
Yeah, they can call, email me. You can find us on the web, Milwaukee Public Museum. Just go to the planetarium and you'll see my contact info. Yeah, call anytime. That's what we're all about. Talking space like we're doing, and we'll answer any question that you have.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's always such a pleasure having you here, and you absolutely made Greg's entire week. Have a great National Space Day, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, Bob.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Take care. News is coming up next when we return. It's all birds, baby.
It's your turn.
It's all birds. And then we have a soup review. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, not quite as vast as space, but a vast Civic Media Radio Network.
100,000 miles. I'm feeling very still. And before too long, I know it's time to go.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you live from our sunny studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. We're going to be talking about all things winged things. Rocco Del Medico is a biologist with Pheasants Forever, and we're so happy to have you here, Rocco. Good morning. How you doing?
Oop.
Rocco, can you hear us?
Rocco has no sound.
He cannot hear us.
Live radio, folks. How y'all doing?
Give us 1 second. Yep. Otherwise, we will have him call in. Kevin, do you want to send him the phone number, please?
Yeah.
And then we'll have Rocco give us a call. We can do the chat over the phone.
Yep.
We want to talk, among other things, about the appearance of an extremely rare bird that was just sighted in the United States. It is called the blue rock hopper. No, blue rock thrush. Blue rock thrush was spotted in Oregon, along the Oregon coast in April by an amateur photographer. The 41-year-old is a middle school band director from Vancouver, Washington, is not a bird watcher. He was along the Oregon coast, and he saw this little bird that is very distinctively colored. It's bright blue, like nothing that is ever seen, certainly not around Wisconsin, but the majority of the top of the bird is bright blue, and then it is kind of a brown, burnished brown color. So, Rocco, can you hear us yet?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you so much. How are you doing this morning?
All right.
So, Rocco, I shared with you this article about this new bird sighting. What can you tell us about this particular bird that was just sighted in Oregon?
Yeah. I don't know much about that particular bird, as it seems to be kind of a Southeast Asian bird. But, I mean, stuff like this happens rather often. Birds, especially during migration, they'll be on their way one place, either get blown off by a storm or just decide to take a turn somewhere. And and end up in another place. I mean, that happens in Wisconsin. Quite a few years ago now, there was a harlequin duck that was on Lake Michigan. Harlequin ducks are typically found in like the Pacific Northwest and up into Alaska. And they, something happens during migration and they end up way off course. Stuff like this happens quite often. There's entire listservs dedicated to stuff like this.
What happens to those birds that get blown off course? Do they eventually, I mean, is it a happy ending? Or do they, you know, do they find their flock? Do they find their way back home? Or does that remain to be seen?
I mean, I guess it depends on if they like to travel. chance of getting back home, probably pretty slim, I would think. But maybe, I don't know, it's hard. I mean, without some type of banding records or a transmitter of some sort, it'd be really hard to tell where what the final destination is.
If you're just joining us, Rocco Delmedico is our guest. He is a biologist with Pheasants Forever. How did you get into that, Rocco? What was your interest in birds initially? Does this go back to childhood?
No, I didn't even know I was interested in birds until I took an ornithology class in college. And turned out I was a huge bird nerd, didn't even know it. I liked wildlife. I liked being outside when I was a kid. So I went to college. I just went into, what's that?
Go ahead.
It looks like you asked what type of biologist am I? So I like being outside. So I went to college and just thought I would get a degree that had to do with outside stuff. So I got a wildlife biology degree and then tried to find a job after that.
So what kind of work do you do with Pheasants Forever? What does that involve? I think we're still having some connection problems.
Yeah, I think Rocco, is it possible for you to call the phone number? We're having like a bit of a connection problem.
Private landowners sign up for various farm bill programs.
Yeah, we're going to have Rocco call in.
Yeah.
We are having some connection issues here. Rocco Delmedico is joining us. He is a biologist with Pheasants Forever, talking, among other things, about how birds that aren't supposed to be here end up here. It happens frequently. We had the flamingos. The flamingo that showed up last year that I still think is hilarious. The American avocet showed up. There was an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this is from the end of April, that they were showing up along the coast of Lake Michigan. They're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, we also got a text from Mark from the SAC saying the indigo bunting up in Douglas County some 10 years ago.
Okay, now I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Yep.
We're showing up along the...
There we go. Rocco, can you hear us?
I can.
Fantastic.
Yes, I can hear you.
Rocco Delmedico is our guest. He is a biologist with Pheasants Forever, talking about birds that are showing up that get blown off course when they are traveling during migration time. Rocco, the bird population pretty much around the world, though, is in decline. Are we losing a lot of species of birds?
Yes, we are. I mean, right now, I think it's more just populations of birds. But species, yeah, are sure to follow. I mean, just land practice uses and urban development and, climate change factors are really, really taking a toll on bird populations.
And the other thing, too, I think people tend to forget, and we're very pro-pet here, and we're big animal advocates, but house cats kill an inordinate amount of songbirds if you let them outside. They really do a fair amount of damage, don't they, Rocco?
Yeah, they do. They do a lot of damage. I mean, I think I've heard somewhere they have a kill success rate of like in the 90%, which is pretty much unheard of for most predators. When you compare it to like skyscrapers, wind turbines, power lines, like cats kill far more birds than any of those structures do, and those are rather high.
I've never
not so much the wind turbines, but like skyscrapers and stuff. Yeah, they're killing machines. They're really good at what
they're,
they do.
Yeah, they're very, very efficient killers.
I've never heard of anyone refer to a cat as a predator before, but it makes sense. And also, like, a successful kill count. That's just a, that's a, that's crazy.
But wow. if you're a cat owner or you're thinking about getting a cat, I would, and not only is it better for their health if you don't let them outside.
Yeah.
Because they don't get, they can't get in fights. They can't get in other things. You're protecting the bird population. Because yeah. as Rocco pointed out, they are very, very efficient killers. What can we do, Rocco, for, you know, just bird enthusiasts like me to make a happy bird habitat in our backyards? What kinds of things should we be supplying?
I guess it depends on how big your backyard is. If it's just a regular, like, city lot, feeders are always good. Water is good. Baths are good. With feeders, you can have, there's a couple different types of feeders. Different birds like to feed in different areas. So there are some birds that prefer to feed on the ground. There's some birds that prefer with like an open platform nest or open platform feeders. So just various like levels, you know, heights in your backyard are good. Different types of food, you know, the finches tend to like thistle seed quite a bit. Some other birds, some of your like orioles and even blue jays and stuff will prefer like dried fruits, seeds, nuts. So kind of like humans, you know, a variety of foods, a variety of places to eat.
You want to have several restaurants, several restaurant options available for the birds in your neighborhood.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it?
But I mean, one thing though is also to be. I mean, this is natural and normal, but if you start putting out feeders, if you have a lot of shrubby cover around, you may have things like sharp-chin hawks and Cooper's hawks, which are birds. Predator specialist, so you will also be setting up a just a warning. You'll also be setting up a feeder for those birds also that feed on other birds. So
yeah, that's it's
common. It happens, but don't be surprised if it happens.
Just learn about the circle of life now.
That is a disturbing distinction about birds, though, because I mean, crows will do that too, won't they, Rocco? The crows will go after other birds' eggs.
Other birds' eggs, yeah, but I'm saying like a goshawk. Goshawks. Prey on songbirds.
Yeah.
On birds, yeah. They're going to come in.
Goshawks, Cooper's hawks, sharp-chinned hawks, yeah. So if you're setting up a spot where there's a whole bunch of songbirds, you're going to end up with things that also eat songbirds. So, I mean, it's like you said, you want to have a lot of different types of restaurants. So I guess it all fits.
One is more sushi, I guess you could say. And Rocco, it's really important when we talk about feeders, and this is what I have heard, and especially with bird baths, is you do have to clean them.
Yeah. Just like anything else, keep them clean. Anytime you're congregating large groups of any animal, there's always the chance for, you know, spreading disease. So yeah, to make sure to keep things clean. And now with like some of the bird flu strains and stuff, that could be even more of an issue. I know my parents live, they live in Minnesota, and there was some, I don't know, it was not really laws, but DNR and other wildlife officials were recommending to really either dump out your feeders and just stop for a while, or just make sure to keep things really clean, just because, again, once you concentrate any animal, you just increase the chance of spreading disease, which we found out recently a few years ago.
Yeah, those, and unfortunately, bird, you know, I love it because the birds will wait for me to fill the bird bath. And then, of course, they poop in it, the clean bird bath. But you really do have to, you got to clean them out every couple times a week for sure, because they're kind of dirty animals. Well, they are.
I mean, we're all dirty. Just besmirching the birds like that.
I don't mean to besmirch birds. You know how I feel about
birds. I know
birds.
How you feel about birds. Very excited. We need to get you a vest. And maybe Rocco, do you ever like lead expeditions? I don't know if that's too big of a word, but like bird watching sessions and things like that. Because we want to get Jane out in the world.
He really wants me to get a vest, Rocco, is what he wants.
Oh, I highly recommend it. I'm actually leading a field trip in June down over in the Driftless area in the Perry Primrose region, Southwest Dane County. We're doing a grassland bird tour in one of the big birding areas down there. But yeah, vests are good. I used to do bird surveys for a job, so I would go out and count birds for work, which was awesome. So yeah, you got your clipboard, you got your various field guides, binoculars. You don't have time to be digging into backpacks. Vests can be very functional.
There you go.
Oh, that makes sense, though. I can see why you wouldn't want to be digging through a backpack, because it's not like they're going to hang around and wait for you to take a picture of them, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Rocco Del Medico is a biologist with Pheasants Forever. We have been talking all things birds. Despite the few technical problems, Rocco, thank you so very much for joining us. It was really, really enjoyable to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Take care. Thank you so much. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us when we return. Soup review. It's related to yesterday. Don't go away. Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Yesterday at 11 o'clock, we were joined by Eric Knudsen from the Delafield Brewhouse. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary today.
Today is
their 25th anniversary. So Eric was here for a special edition of Beyond the Cheese, where we like to talk about businesses in Wisconsin that are not necessarily dairy related. But as we were talking to Eric and I was looking at the menu, and they have this beer cheese soup. And when we started talking about it yesterday, Greg, that's all I could think about.
I know. And now that's all I'm thinking about.
So I drove out there after the show was over yesterday and had a bowl of the beer cheese soup.
Yeah.
And they had a stuffed pretzel with Asiago and artichoke. It was so good. First of all, the soup is fantastic.
fantastic.
And that explains to me why, because he said that was one of their original menu items.
Yeah.
Don't ever get rid of that soup. Don't ever, ever, ever get rid of that soup. And then being able to dip that hot, delicious pretzel in this, it was so good, you guys. I'm not kidding. And I shared pretzel with you.
I was going to say, I would be like, oh, well, I wonder what the pretzel would taste like. But I don't have to wonder. I know what the pretzel tastes like.
Was that
like.
Not great?
It was amazing the day after. I can only imagine what it'd be like coming fresh out of the oven onto your table. I wouldn't be like, take away my silverware. I've got everything I need in this steaming pile of bread and cheese. But which, by the way, even though it was beyond the cheese, we're back to cheese.
We're back to cheese. Well, cheese, it belongs everywhere, actually. And some other, I want to remind folks about this big deals that we have going on. So if you live in Waukesha, if you live in southeastern Wisconsin in particular, go to waukradio.com, waukradio.com. And then at the very top, there's a tab that says big deals. And if you go to big deals, you can buy gift certificates
yes.
for less. So like the Delafield Brewhouse, you can get a gift certificate for $40. It's only going to cost you $28. And that... you can get 9 bowls of cheese soup, and you should. It's that good. Well, it is.
It's just an all-around good place. We were happy to have them on the air. And now I told you this morning, I said, next time my mom and I go to lunch, we're going there. And I'm just going to eat my way through their menu. Be like, I'll be like the guy from another Monty Python reference. The meaning of life. Just a big guy who's like, I can't eat anymore. I'm stuffed.
I'm sated. So, we got all kinds of great certificates on there for Max Mac and Cheese. We have Planet X Vape and Smoke, Juanita Sushi Seafood Bar, Frederick's Hallmark, Fred's Burgers, again, the Brew House, Lover's Lane Sushi. Check out the Big Deals tab. Go to waukradio.com and click on that Big Deals tab, and that will take you again. You can get $10 gift certificates for $7, $20 gift certificate at the Lanes on 20, mm-hmm. a $20 certificate for $14, and flowers. You can't go wrong. $40 floral gift certificate, personal touch by Julie, $28. You'll be a hero. It's just a thought.
I always thought. And hey, get your man flowers too. Sometimes I want flowers as well. I just say that.
Would you like flowers?
I love flowers.
Really?
Oh my goodness. That is something that is so, it's because it's such a nice act. You're like, here, I got you some flowers. You didn't have to get flowers for somebody outside of birthday and like the
special occasions.
Yeah, or where it's almost expected. You'd be like, you know what I want to do? I want to get this person flowers. I'm going to drive to a place. I'm going to buy flowers. And then I'm going to be like, hey, I got these for you. That's a big deal. That's wonderful.
I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Along with the telescope and
I'm just an expensive date. And, I'm an expensive date.
And hey. Now he wants fresh flowers.
How did this go from I like something to
I'm kidding.
No, you're not. I can see it in your face.
We had a very, very lighthearted second hour of the show. Coming up on Monday, we're going to drill down into some serious stuff again, but we are. Retired Major General Randy Manner is going to join us. Yeah. We talked to retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson last month about the importance of NATO and continued funding for Ukraine. Retired Major General Randy Manner joining us Monday at 10:30 to talk about Project 2025. We have referenced this before. We did talk to Jose Pecky about it a little bit, but I think it's really important that we drill down into this and what this would do to our democracy. Yeah. The Project 2025 will essentially rework the way our government runs, including the Department of Defense, which is spooky.
And just so for our listeners and all the people on the live stream, which, by the way, thank you for attending the live stream.
Absolutely.
Today, we're not joking. We're not being dramatic, and we're not overblowing this. These are things that have been set out by these individuals. These are things that have been said by people like the former president and the people who work for him. They are going to do this, or at the very least try. And the fact that they even want to try is scary enough to me. So please do not, we're not scaremongering. We're not trying to frighten you. We're just saying this is what's been proposed.
This is the plan. This is one of the plans.
For the country that you live in, and we want to keep on talking about it until and after the election, because it's not going to go away. It's not like if he loses.
He already said this week, essentially, if he doesn't win,
he won't accept
the results because that means it was rigged. So.
Yeah. But if he loses, he's not just gonna be like, all right, guys, pack it up. See you later. I'm going to go down tomorrow. He's going to be talking about this for years to come. And we need to get that information to you.
I just think it's really important that we all understand what the ramifications would be should this Project 2025 go into effect, how that would affect our democracy, how that would affect our daily lives, and certainly the lives of our children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Also, next week on Tuesday, we're going to have a guest who's going to help us learn how to talk to people who disagree.
And
yes, we are. And I think she will have suggestions for all of us.
Yeah.
That we can implement in our daily lives as we try to have productive conversations with people with which we may not see completely eye to eye.
Agreed.
So that's just some of the things coming up for you next week.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Calvin and Greg and our engineering team. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you so much for calling and texting and listening. It means everything, absolutely, and for watching in the live stream. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Find some joy.
Yeah.
And you have the chance to share it. Stay here. News is next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.